thank you for leading us this morning to our worship team. That last song really ties in with what we talked about last week and what we're talking about this week, of connecting to those that are around us, around me, I think was the last words in there, that we show love to those people. We talked about relationships last week. This week we're talking about serving each other, which is an expression of the love that we have for each other oftentimes. Before we get into that, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer together. Father, we ask for your anointing on us this day. Move in our lives today. Open our eyes so that we may see your word. Open our ears so we may hear your word. Open our minds so we can understand your word. And our hearts so we may be changed by your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if I were to give you this quote, is there anybody in here who could tell me who said it? We cannot help everyone, but everyone can help someone. Anybody know? As Ronald Reagan, President Ronald Reagan. We cannot help everyone, but everyone can help someone. Think of that. That's a very profound statement. Because we all know in here 100% that we cannot help everybody, but we can certainly help the person sitting next to us, or the person that we work with, or go to school with. We can all certainly help someone. And I take that sentence that Ronald Reagan shared years and years ago, and I just change one little word in there for today. Just go with it with me. We cannot serve everyone, but we can certainly serve someone. God calls us to serve people. We cannot serve everyone, but we can certainly serve someone. There's, I think, no better example of true servanthood than what we find in the book of John, chapter 13. I want you to turn there with me. We're going to read the first 17 verses of John, chapter 13. It's going to be page 763. If you're using one of the pew Bibles or one of the church Bibles. This will be a familiar piece of passage to many of you. I just want us to think as we're reading through this, the act of servanthood that's taking place by Christ. Starting in verse 1, it says, "It was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." So this is how he does that. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Simon, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. You are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everybody was clean. And continuing on in verse 12, and this is really the part that I want us to grasp this morning. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And these are the words of Christ. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. The ultimate symbol of service. Christ choosing to wash the feet of his disciples. The earthly ministry of Jesus was nearing its end in this passage that we read. Jesus had gathered his disciples to eat the Passover meal. This is really, it's a pivotal time in the lives of the disciples. It's a defining moment that will change their outlook on life forever. Jesus had chosen these men to be his disciples. He had given them his love, and I would say a special degree in a sense. And now he was about to take that love even a step further and demonstrate it to them. Not only in word, but in action. Of course, we all know that when we fast forward a little bit in the story of Christ, that later on, he would take that love to even a higher level as he would lay his life down for all of mankind. This was a new concept for the disciples. Jesus had spoken of this kind of love, but they had never seen it demonstrated in the way that it was being demonstrated to them in that moment. Jesus was aware of who he was. There's no question about that. He understood his universal sovereignty that was given to him by God the Father. He was aware of his heavenly origin and his destiny that awaited him. And still, Jesus, the Son of God, he dressed himself as a servant and performed the task of a servant. Any of the disciples, I think, would have gladly stepped down to wash the feet of Jesus. I think they would have. But I'm also pretty certain I don't think that they would have done that to wash each other's feet without the example of Christ. Because if they did, they would be coming across as being inferior to the ones that they were washing the feet of. In Matthew chapter 20, we see that the disciples were all kind of competing for the top place in the coming kingdom of God. They wanted to know who was going to be the greatest when the kingdom of God came. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, we see that the disciples were all competing for this place in the kingdom of God. They wanted to know who was going to be the greatest when the kingdom came. So in Matthew chapter 20, we see this response from Christ. Starting in verse 26, it says, "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The words of Christ in this portion of Scripture are true to us today, just as true to us today as they were 2,000 years ago when he spoke them to the disciples. Every child of God is called by God to be a servant for God. We are called to serve God and have no other gods before us, and we're called to serve each other as well. No matter what God has called you to do in your life, no matter where your career takes you, no matter what your path that you go down in life looks like. We need to understand this concept of serving each other because we are called to that. God greatly desires a church that will serve Him with wholeheartedness. And as we're serving Him, we will also be serving each other. God is looking for people with willing hearts to serve Him no matter the cost. God's looking for people who are going to love Him, are going to love each other and work alongside of each other and serve each other. God is looking for people who are willing to look past each other's differences and focus their energies on the kingdom of God. He has called you and I to be servants. We have all been called to serve one another. Since we're talking about serving each other this week, I think I just pause for a moment and remind us what we talked about last week a little bit, right? Last week we talked about how important it was to have meaningful, deep relationships with people. And I think that this is one of the reasons why that's important, is because as you have those meaningful, deep, loving relationships with other brothers and sisters in Christ, you will actually know how you can serve people because you're involved in each other's lives. There are certain characteristics that we need to have or acquire. I think we can acquire these if we're going to be serious about serving God's people, serving each other, and serving our God. So I want us to just take the remainder of our time this morning. We're going to real quickly go through 10 different characteristics, I believe, that are Christ-like characteristics of a servant, of somebody that's choosing to intentionally serve other people. Number one is simply this: a servant loves. A servant loves. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says this: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." If we claim to be a child of God and we claim to love God and we do not show love to one another, then our love for God, I'm going to suggest, is meaningless. The Apostle Paul tells us that having love for each other is one of the best ways to live out our lives. Think about it. God loves us. We love God. We should love each other. It becomes much easier to serve somebody when there's a deep care and concern and love for that somebody. The second one is a servant fellowships. I think fellowship is a little bit deeper than just getting together and eating. Though that's not a bad kind of fellowship. Fellowship with each other, I think, is building meaningful relationships with each other. Spending time, that intimate time with other people to get into their lives and be a part of who they are. If we're going to claim to be a child of God, then we need to get this one right. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says this: "But if we claim to be in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." If we claim to be in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. The meaningful relationships that we build within the body of Christ, with our brothers and our sisters in Christ, the people sitting around you, the people who go to church in other places, the meaningful relationships that we build within the body of Christ are based upon the one thing we all share in common, and that is our eternal life that comes from God through Jesus Christ our Savior. Our eternal life in God means that we have fellowship with God. And if we have fellowship with God, then we must have fellowship with God's people. If we claim to be in the light, as He is in the light, right? We have fellowship with one another. A servant has affection for others, is number three. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves." Regardless of our heritage, regardless of our social status, regardless of our financial status and situations, the servant must have the love of a brother and a sister for others in Christ. We must love people regardless of any circumstances, environmental circumstances to come into play. The love that is spoken about in this passage, in the Greek origin, it means we are not to count ourselves better than our brother or our sister in the Lord. A servant has affection for others. A servant glorifies God with others. In Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 5, Paul tells us, he says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ." A servant glorifies God with others. Our God is a God of unity. The older I get, the more I see what happens in our world. I think one of the biggest identifiers of us as the church should be unity among us. It sets us apart from everybody else in the world when we live life united together. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? Three different parts, doing different jobs, in perfect harmony. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What an example. Three different people, three different jobs, in perfect harmony. That's the unity that we should work towards in our relationships and in our church. So much more is accomplished when we worship God in unity. Number five, a servant edifies and comforts others. The author of Hebrews urges us to encourage one another daily, so long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, for those that are taking notes. We are to encourage, to comfort, and to build each other up in the Lord. And that passage tells us to do that, not just regularly, daily. Daily. So what does that look like just in our little church here? If there were 200 of us that made the decision today, that for the remainder of this year, each and every day, I'm going to intentionally edify somebody, lift somebody up, encourage somebody. You know what that would mean? That there's 347 days left in this year. So if 200 people did that for 347 days, that would be 69,400 times in the remainder of this year, just from this little congregation, that we'd be edifying, lifting somebody up, encouraging somebody. We may not be able to do it to everybody, but each of us can do it for somebody. Number six, a servant is kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, not harsh, hard-hearted, and unforgiving. Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, I think he says it pretty bluntly here. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Really sums up the Christian character. This is the outward expression of the love that Christ has for us as children of God. And we are supposed to share that with others. Just as Christ forgave us, we are to forgive others. I love that last line of the passage. If we want to be pardoned from our sins, then guess what? It starts with us. It starts with us pardoning other people who sin against us. I know at times that isn't easy. But I also know, according to Scripture, it's necessary. When we forgive, we restore fellowship that was lost. It really leads us back to the whole idea of being unified together as brothers and sisters in Christ. When we forgive, it will rebuild that unity within the church. This is what the life of Christ exhibited, and this is what our lives need to exhibit. The seventh one is a servant submits. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I think this is how the church achieves harmony, that unity. When we submit to each other mutually, voluntarily, and personally, we will shut the door on rudeness and arrogance and selfishness. When we submit to each other. Number eight, a servant is compassionate. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, love as brothers and sisters, and be compassionate and humble. Compassion is a deep, deep love. Because it's loving when one is in a state of suffering and need. In our society, we have become cold-hearted too often to the suffering of others. We see the commercials on TV as we sit on our couches and watch in the evening. And we see these commercials of people in third world countries that are living completely different lives than any one of us. And we very easily switch to another channel and go on with our day. When a person is in need, we should be the first, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be the first to reach out to them. This is the same kind of love that motivated God to send Christ to die for our sins. We were in need of salvation, and God knew that. So God showed His love for us that while we were still sinners, Scripture says, Christ died for us. A servant is compassionate. Number nine, a servant shows hospitality. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling is what 1 Peter 4:9 says. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It really doesn't get much clearer than that. I don't know that I can expand on that one for you. Hospitality is important. Number 10, a servant is patient. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Do people in the church ever get on your nerves? Don't answer right now, but what about your family? You can answer that one if you want. They get on your nerves? No one ever said that being a follower of Christ would be easy for anybody. We all have our crosses to bear. We all have our burdens that we carry. We are called to get over each other's faults and failures, to look past those things and to put up each other, to lift each other up. Paul said that serving in such a manner is a humbling thing to do. Jesus said the same thing when he washed his disciples' feet. He humbled himself and took that position of a servant, and he washed the dirty feet of his disciples. And then he told us to do the same thing. To humble ourselves and to serve each other. He set this example for us to serve one another. When we intentionally choose to do this, others will know that our love for God is genuine. And it's from the heart. I'm not asking you to wash each other's feet on the way out the door this morning. I'm asking you to serve each other as the opportunities arise, as God leads you to do that. Let's be completely real. It's not me asking you, right? We read in Scripture, these were God's words. God told us to do what He had done. Like He served the disciples for us to serve each other. I love that quote that we started our time with this morning. I think that it's a great thing for us to remember as we leave this morning. We can't serve everyone, but everyone can serve someone. Who will you serve? Who will you serve today, tomorrow? Who will you serve the next 247 days? Who will you edify? Who will you lift up? Who will you look for ways to bless in the remainder of this year? There's a whole year ahead of us. A whole lot that can be done. We have to choose intentionally to be a servant of Christ. To follow the example that Christ set before us in that picture of the Last Supper, where He washes His disciples' feet. Let's pray together. Lord God, we know that this idea of being a servant for You is not always a comforting thought. It's not an easy thing for us. It can be a very humbling thing. Help us to get beyond ourselves. Help us to remember the passage that we read this morning of the Passover meal and this amazing example that You set for us of humbling Yourself in order to serve Your disciples. Lord God, help us in here this morning, not to be overwhelmed by any of this, but to say, you know what, out of these 10 things, I'm going to choose one or two things to work on to become a better servant for the kingdom. Work in our hearts, Lord God. Allow us to be changed by Your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.